This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show, we'll talk with Alex Bloomberg, the host of the Gimlet Media podcast Startup. But first, the 2016 Summer Olympic Games got underway last week in Rio de Janeiro, but the excitement for the Games has been tempered by concerns over the Zika virus. Brazil is facing a Zika epidemic with 166,000 suspected and confirmed cases of the mosquito-borne virus. Officials have warned travelers to Rio to take precautions while there and when they return home. And now that mosquito spread cases of Zika have been confirmed in the Miami, Florida area, travelers there must also take precautions. Here to talk about how to protect yourself against the Zika virus and discuss other travel health and safety tips are Steve Devine, Director of Environmental Health and Safety with the Northern Kentucky Health Department, St. Elizabeth Healthcare travel health experts Dr. Patrick Kunkler and registered nurse Stacy Bagley. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Stacy, Patrick, and Steve, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Steve, how much should we be concerned about Zika? How big a deal is this getting to be?
Sure. Well, obviously in the area, especially in the South America and Central America, those type of areas, much bigger concern as of right now. But we want to be proactive. We're already starting to see some cases now locally acquired in Florida. So we have some in the continental U.S. So it is something we want to pay attention to. And there are some steps we as individuals can take as well as, you know, as government and health groups to try to lessen the concern.
How much have we seen, since your area is Northern Kentucky, have we had any cases in Northern Kentucky pop up?
We have. We have four cases as of right now. They're all travel-related, so they've gone to one of the countries that's more affected by the Zika virus and then came back and were later diagnosed with it. We don't have any locally acquired cases at this point, but it is, you know, those numbers are probably going to increase as more people travel and come back home.
And Patrick, I think the last numbers I saw from the CDC were 56 confirmed cases of Zika, and that's for Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And all those are travel-related. So what are your thoughts on this? Is this going to become a bigger concern as the summer goes on and mosquito season progresses?
As we're seeing in Miami, there was several cases happening there, and probably going to see that till freezing stops on at least the more southern states itself. And one thing that I don't think that they're stressing that I'd like to say is that people should use mosquito repellent for at least 3 weeks after they get back, because if they do develop Zika, the mosquito could bite them and then spread it to someone else.
Oh, so it's possible for a mosquito to pick it up and then spread it around others. Okay. What are the symptoms of Zika?
Usually the main four that they look for is fever, a rash, conjunctivitis or red eye, and myalgias or arthralgias, achy joints itself.
So muscle pains and things like that.
There's several other things you can get that are similar to that too, called dengue and chikungunya. So you have to get tested to see which one you have.
Well, what kind of testing is available out there for determining what you have?
There's several different tests. If it's early on, they can do a test looking for part of the viral particle of the virus. And then there's also looking at antibodies, the IgM, which is the early one, or the IgG later, and they have several tests depending on how long ago it was and what symptoms that you have.
Now, it's a certain type of mosquito that carries this disease?
Yes, it's called the Aedes. There's a very small amount in this area, and it's mostly bites during the day, so people are supposed to take precautions mostly during the day.
Okay, right. So it's just that one mosquito. No other mosquito can carry this.
Well, so far, the primary one is Aedes aegypti. That's the main one that we're concerned with, although albopictus, another subspecies of the Aedes, is out there as well, which we tend to have a little bit more of that in our area. They survive a little bit better in the type of weather that we have compared to Aedes aegypti, which really like the tropical, the hot, time of year, pretty much a year round with the warmer conditions.
What are the possible complications? What are the difficulties that this causes beyond just the symptoms?
Well, the main symptoms that everybody hears about is if you become pregnant at the time that you, if you get the virus at the time that you're pregnant, then there can be birth defects. The most severe one is the brain doesn't develop correctly, called microcephaly. But there's lots of other birth defects. Many of the babies can be blind, deaf, have muscle disorders. Most adults do fairly well with this. They can just take Tylenol and drink plenty of fluids and be better in a week or so. Occasionally, there can be something called Guillain-Barré, where people will get numbness and some neurologic problems. But usually, they will get better with supportive therapy, but they might have to be in the hospital for a week or two. But that's only so many in 100,000 cases.
So when should someone go to a doctor to get checked out if they think they have Zika? Stacy?
Well, they should see a doctor if they've been to an endemic area and they have any of those symptoms that Dr. Kunkler listed before, or if they have a partner who has been to an endemic area and now they're having symptoms. Also, if they've been to an endemic area and they are now find out they're pregnant, they should mention that to their physician so they can be checked. Otherwise, if they've not traveled anywhere and they've just been in this area and they're worried about Zika, they should call their physician, but the likelihood of it being Zika is very low.
So if I've been out on the deck having a picnic and I've gotten eaten up by mosquitoes, don't panic as long as I've not.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You should be okay.
Okay. 513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. How close are we to having a vaccine for Zika? Is that what's the progress on that?
I've heard that the vaccine the first trial of the vaccine has been finished. So there's several trials that they'll go through before they'll be approved. So they're just past that first phase of trials for the vaccine.
So
it'll be a while.
It's going to be a while, it sounds like, yes. But this is a virus that's been around for a long time. I mean, I'm kind of curious as to why it's getting so much attention now.
Yeah, well, it's new to us. It's new to our area. It has been around, similar to Ebola. It was over in Africa for many years.
1947 was the first identified
Zika virus. Yes,
exactly. But that's kind of been, it's been in outside areas. Now that it's over here, in South America, Central America, and of course we're talking about it because we're concerned about North America and in particular our own area. That changes things. It changes things for us because now it's something we have to be concerned with because either we travel to those areas or people that we associate with travel to those areas, or potentially because it could be brought back and eventually have cases here in the U.S., which again we're starting to see now.
So what's your advice for people who are traveling, before they travel? Are there things they can do ahead of time to help protect themselves from Zika?
Sure. Well, some of the things similar messages coming from us as well as from St. Elizabeth, pack for things that you're going to need when you get over there if you're going to go. If you're pregnant or think about becoming pregnant right now, the recommendation is don't go to the areas where you have the Zika being endemic. Otherwise, take your bug spray. Take your long sleeves and your long pants if you can, to wear those over when you're outside in those areas. Stay in areas if at all possible that have air conditioning and screens are in good condition. If you're going to be somewhere that's a little bit more roughing it, take you some netting that you can use over your bedding, especially if you're going to have children as well, things like that. So those are some of the things you can take from our standpoint. And we always recommend to talk to your physician or to the travel doctors before you head out so that you know all the facts and have the information you need before you make that decision about going.
Mm-hmm. I've also been told that the mosquitoes do not like air conditioning. So try to stay somewhere with air conditioning, which I would be doing anyway if I was traveling
yeah,
there.
Exactly. Exactly. Stacey, any advice from you? Things you can do before the trip in particular.
Before the trip. Mostly what Steve had mentioned, pack to prevent. So you definitely want your bug repellent. You can treat a lot of different clothings and bed nettings and things like that with permethrin, which is an insecticide that'll keep even more than mosquitoes off of you, ticks and everything else. And it really depends on what the person's going to be doing on their trip. Even if it is a Zika endemic area, I'm going to ask them, what are you going to be doing? Are you hiking? Are you camping? Or are you, just going out for little day trips and coming back and you're staying inside buildings at night, So it's a lot of individual, you know, depending on itinerary, length of time, and where exactly they're going to be in the city or a rural or and what else is floating around out there.
Now, some people might worry about using an insect repellent, chemicals. How do you weigh the risks of the bug repellent versus Zika itself? I mean,
well, most repellents will evaporate from the skin. They don't absorb into the skin, which makes them less toxic than the normal person thinks they are. So just don't put them underneath clothing. Whenever you are putting or applying on bug repellents, they need to be on exposed surfaces only, not under clothing.
Are there certain repellents that are more effective than others?
Yeah, there are, and we would recommend you go to the EPA's website. They do a lot of testing, and there's links on there that take you to the products that they recommend. Some of the ones that are at the top of the list, at least in terms of what's in them, maybe not by brand, are DEET. One's called RR3535, Picaridin. There's a few of them that are like that that have been gone through trials and testing, have come back favorably, as well as are considered safe for use as long as you're over the age of 2 months in most parts.
Is it a good idea to have a travel health kit that you take with you as part of your preparations for traveling abroad?
I do recommend a little first aid kit of sorts. Also, you know, we need to talk about the different plugs in the different countries. And there's all kinds of things that people don't think about. Because once you leave the country, you're no longer under the protection of the EPA or the FDA. You're outside of the protective bubble. So there are things that you need to take. And there's a lot of counterfeiting of different medications and things outside the United States border. So definitely I encourage people to take certain medications and things with them.
What else would you have in your travel health kit?
I would have Band-Aids. I would have hydrocortisone cream. I'd have some Imodium, some Tylenol or ibuprofen. A lot of little things that you may take for granted here, but may be hard to find in a foreign country.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to talk about how to protect yourself against the Zika virus and discuss other travel health and safety tips are Steve Devine, Director of Environmental Health and Safety with the Northern Kentucky Health Department, and St. Elizabeth Healthcare travel health experts Dr. Patrick Kunkler and registered nurse Stacy Bagley. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Dana in Blue Ash. Hi, Dana. Dana, go right ahead.
Hi. So I actually had a comment for the committee based on your discussion. I recently traveled to Mexico back in March, and it was under the travel warning. Wasn't trying to get pregnant, but actually happened to get pregnant. And then during the time afterwards, discussing with my physician and my OBGYN, I mean, they didn't seem to know exactly what to do to let me get Zika tested, to the point where after a week of them not being able to tell me what I was supposed to do, I contacted the CDC myself. That test at the time was $800, completely not covered by insurance, to have yourself tested for Zika. Unfortunately for me, or fortunately, I didn't have to pursue that because I miscarried, but at the time it was very stressful that our physicians didn't seem to really know what to tell the people who potentially was at risk.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure where you're located at, but I know that, and you're talking about back in March, and I think information has gone a long way between now and then as far as what the physicians are made aware of. I know in Northern Kentucky, we have sent things out to all the physicians and in particular targeted OBGYNs, letting them know things to look for, conversations they need to have with their patients, and also what the process is to screen people to see if they would be something that would need to be tested for Zika. In our case, all of those conversations, when the physicians feel like they have somebody that may be a good fit for testing, goes through the health department, and then they kind of triage as a contact between them and the state for testing.
Dana, thank you so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. Talk with Brady in North Avondale now. Hi, Brady.
Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go right ahead.
I just had a quick question. I was just curious as far as the long-term effect. If you were to go, say, to the Olympics and get bit as a woman and then and maybe get the virus and then come back and a year later become pregnant, are you affected then too, or is it more of a short-term situation?
Yeah, usually they say women not to get pregnant for 2 months after they have been somewhere with the risk for that, and then men should not for who have, since it can be in the semen and they can spread it, should not do it for, should not have anybody become pregnant for 2 months, or if they've actually had the infection, they say 6 months just because they're not sure about that, but it shouldn't affect after a year, after so many months.
All right, and a good point to make off of that is that if you travel to those areas and then come back, it can be sexually transmitted as well. It's not just through the bite of a mosquito. So it is important that you know, either you abstain from sex or use condoms anytime you have sex, just so you have that protection during that window where right now it looks like you're going to be able to transmit that virus onto your partner.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And you can also email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Beyond protecting yourself against the Zika virus, because we always worry about viruses and diseases when we travel, there are a lot of other issues, though, you have to take into account when you're traveling abroad. I read someplace that motor vehicle crashes are one of the top killers of healthy U.S. citizens in foreign countries. So how do you go about planning for that kind of thing?
Well, when you're using public transportation, you need to be careful to only use registered taxis. Try to use vehicles that have seatbelts in them. Don't get in overcrowded buses or anything that looks like it could break down or, you know, is overcrowded. Those things, if a bus crashes and it's overcrowded, there's going to be a lot of injuries. If you are the one driving, you should be familiar with the laws. A lot of people are familiar that you drive on the other side of the road.
Really? Okay.
And it can, yeah. So you need to be
familiar.
That's
true. You should know what you're doing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Patrick, what about you? What advice do you have in that area?
Just to keep safe itself, you should not try to look wealthy by having too much expensive clothing or jewelry, because that's kind of a mark for anyone there, especially if you're going to a third world countries or just anywhere. Wear your handbags across your chest and be careful with interactions with strangers. Then also just avoid risk-taking behavior too. A lot of time there's drugs or alcohol involved and people aren't always making the best decisions when they're traveling, and increases risk-taking behavior exponentially. So
513-419-7100 to join us, and we'll talk with Deb in Batesville now. Hi, Deb.
Hi there. I'm thinking about going to Haiti, and I know the federal government has an alert out because of the Zika virus. I'd like to know how prevalent it is there. And then another thing is their alert says that when you come home for 3 weeks, if you should not get bitten by a mosquito, because the mosquito could pick up Zika from you and then transmit it to another person. Okay, so do you know? Have you ever heard that?
Yes, it's there's a theory that since mosquitoes live for about 30 days, if you would get bitten by the mosquito, and then the virus will be in the blood, especially that first week or two afterward, then if the mosquito bites you, then it can bite someone else, and that's possibly how it could spread.
As far as her question about Haiti, does anybody know anything about Haiti?
Haiti does have some issues. Haiti, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, all of them are kind of hot spots for Zika right now. So I certainly would use a lot of caution if I was going to take a trip there.
How do you keep track of the warnings and alerts that are put out by the State Department? What's the best way to do that?
I do most of my tracking through the CDC. If you go on their website, they've got a page at specifically Zika, and it has maps, lists. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about a country, and then tomorrow it'll be different numbers, different countries that are a concern. If you go to the website, they keep it updated on a daily basis.
Let's talk with David in Claremont County. Hi, David.
Good afternoon. I have 2 points. One of them is that the Aedes aegypti is very rare around this area, but the Aedes albopictus, the Asian tiger mosquito, is very common and is one of the transmitters. And the other is the claim was made that DEET vaporizes off the skin and goes away, and I would challenge that. I think it does not evaporate off the skin, and while it's not clear that it's a danger to pregnant women, I would be concerned if my wife were pregnant and were putting that on our skin.
Okay. Thank you, David. Comment about mosquitoes, the different types.
Well, he is correct. We do have, I'd mentioned that, albopictus, Aedes albopictus in our area. We've had that for quite a while. Came across on tire loads mostly from offshore, and now we've got it here as a good guest in northern Kentucky as well as a good portion of the U.S., and it is something that we'll keep an eye on. You know, the biggest thing we're talking about here besides the medical end of it, the travel part of it, are things you can do yourself at home. Standing water is a breeding site for mosquitoes, so anything you can do not to have standing water, you know, whether it's bird baths, baby pools, or large pools in your backyard not being maintained, you know, empty out things that can hold water at least weekly so that any eggs or larvae that are in there could be gotten rid of. If you have a swimming pool in your backyard, don't leave it abandoned. Make sure that either it's being operated or it's being treated so that it can't allow mosquitoes to breed in it. Keep your grass mowed because they like to hang out in tall grass when they're not actively feeding on people. And the things we talked about as far as protective things you can do for yourself with insect repellent and other steps goes a long way in reducing the number of bites you're going to have. You know, it's not going to be perfect. We realize people are going to be outside and they're going to be exposed. But in particular, people who are going to either have children or have babies or are already pregnant, really, right now, that's the biggest concern, and that's really where we're trying to focus our message at.
Does the health department – I know for West Nile virus that you'll test to see if the mosquito pools have West Nile virus present. Are you doing the same thing with Zika?
Actually, what we're doing right now is we're trapping the mosquitoes. And we're sorting them out by species. We're not sitting them down state for testing yet just because we haven't hit a trigger yet to make it a viable use of resources because there's not a reason to believe that we have a large population at this point, if any, in our mosquitoes as far as Zika. But we do have that ability. We will be doing that as soon as the state gives us the go-ahead on that. But also, you know, the things that we're doing are monitoring those areas based on complaints, as well as proactively if we're out in the field doing other services and we see standing water, we have larvicide, and we're actually placing larvicide in some of those standing areas as well.
Well, Stacy and Patrick and Steve, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Steve Devine, who's the Director of Environmental Health and Safety with the Northern Kentucky Health Department, and St. Elizabeth Healthcare Travel Health Experts, Dr. Patrick Kunkler, and registered nurse Stacy Bagley. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with podcaster Alex Bloomberg, and Focus on Technology looks at high-tech lenses that can help people with color blindness see things in a whole new light. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.